the goodness of God, how great He is, and all those types of things. And you know what? That should be our focus. You know, we've got trials and tribulations and whatever you want to call them going on in the world, things that would try to speak fear into our lives, but we serve a good God. We serve a good God. You know what? Last week, like I said, we had a service that was a little bit different. And so by that service being different, it meant that I didn't finish my sermon from last week. And you know what? When you don't finish a sermon from last week and you go to review it and you look over it again, you tend to add things to it. And so it got added to. And so if I really wanted to finish it and finish it right, we'd be talking about it for another 5 or 6 weeks. But I want to pick up where I left off last week. And the title that I had for my sermon last week was that we are unbeatable, we're unshakable, and we're undefeatable. And I added to it this week, in Him. That might be something that's implied, but I think sometimes it needs to be said. Because anything that we do of any significance as a believer is in Him. It's in Christ Jesus. So one of the things that the Lord spoke to me when it comes to this whole unbeatable, unshakable, undefeatable, all these things here, is that we need to learn, because the devil will use these, we need to learn to take our feelings and our opinions out of the equation. Feelings and opinions don't matter when it comes to the things of God. What matters is the things of God. What matters is the Word of God. The devil will try to get us to be moved by our feelings, be moved by our emotions, but that's not the way that we're to be moved. I'm moved by what the Word of God says. It says that the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the words of God. We had church back here before service in that room right there. All the people who serve on Sunday morning, we meet at 9:20 in that room right there. And the Lord spoke to me last night when I was at home, and He spoke two words to me, and I'm going to share just briefly some things that happened back there. He gave me two words. He said, focus shift. Our focus is what will shape our reality. The things that we give the most attention to will be the things that are the most real in our lives. The things that we give the most attention to are the things that will dominate our lives. What am I focused on? Well, the way our service went last week, one of the things that I said that our pastor says, Pastor Hagen, he always says, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. That's our focus. Carrie and I's focus is on the things of God, the Word of God, and when our focus is on the things of God and the Word of God, we can't be defeated in any arena, and we're not going to quit when things get hard. Because things get hard sometimes. Our lives seem like they get hard sometimes, but we can't quit. Because the Word of God is more true than any circumstance that we go through. I'm speaking faith words here, just so you know. The Word of God is more true than any circumstance that we go through. So if our focus is on this over here, is on the circumstance, on the mountain that's erected itself in front of us, if that's where our focus is, that's more real than anything else in our lives. But if our focus is over here on the Word of God, and what He says about that mountain, when He says that you can speak to that mountain, and it's uprooted and it's cast into the sea, then that's the thing that we need to focus on, because we got many a mountains in the midst of our lives. It could be a mountain of sickness. It could be a mountain of finances. It could be a mountain of our kids are strayed way off into who knows where world. It could be a number of different things, those mountains. But you know what? I'm not moved by those mountains. I'm not moved by the emotions and by the feelings. I'm moved by what the Word of God says about those mountains and about those emotions and about those things that the devil would try to take my focus and shift it away from what the Word of God has to say. Another thing that I said last week about Carrie and I, like I said, our lives are in a state of revival right now. There's some things in our lives that are stirring right now that we're not the same that we were 2 weeks ago. And we're going to be different 2 weeks from now. We're going to keep progressing. But the one thing that I said last week is that Carrie and I, we are unbeatable. We're unbeatable. We can't be beat. I said, it's impossible for us to be beat in Him. We try doing things on our own willpower, in our own abilities, we'll fall short. But in Him, I never fall short. I can't be beat. It's impossible for me to be beat. The devil may try to condemn me, but he can't beat me. He can never, ever can beat me. I may get knocked down, but faith in the Word of God overcomes any knockdown. Do we go through things in our lives? Sure we do. But whatever it is that you're going through in your life, what's the Word of God say about it? The Word of God has something to say about every situation that we go through in our lives. However great or however small it may be, the Word of God has something to say about that. So our faith is in what God says about anything. You know, it's funny that the devil tries to use our feelings, our emotions, other people's opinions to try to condemn us. But what does the Word of God say about that? I just said the Word of God has something to say about everything. Romans 8:1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are what? In Christ Jesus. For those who are in Him. There is therefore now no condemnation that will beat us, that will shake us, and that will defeat us in Him. Can't happen. For there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, there's qualifiers. Man. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In Christ. If you're in Christ, that means you're in the family. He's in you. You're in Him. You're part of the family if you're in Him. But in those qualifiers, he says, who do not walk according to the flesh, who do not walk according to the standards of the world. If we walk according to the standards of the world, then we're not walking according to the standards of heaven. And if we're not walking according to the standards of heaven, then there is the possibility for us to walk around in a constant state of condemnation. We're not good enough. We'll never measure up. We're less than. We can walk around that way. But like I said, in this week's lesson, I'm adding to my sermon title that we are unbeatable, we're unshakable, and we're undefeatable in Him. We're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, very familiar account. We're going to start with verse 34, but a very familiar account, David and Goliath. When we're talking about somebody who is unbeatable, we're talking about somebody who is unshakable and somebody who is undefeatable, I can think of David. I can think of David in a lot of different circumstances. Now, did David have his own issues? Yeah, he had some issues. When you take this other guy's wife over here and you send him to the front lines to be killed, you got issues. But, it says here in 1 Samuel, we're talking about, you know, the armies of Israel, they were lined up against the Philistines. And you had Goliath. He was on one side over here, and he was defying the armies of Israel. And when I look at these here, I look at David and I look at Goliath, I look at types. Goliath was a type, to me, was a type of the devil, and David was a type of Christ. And so you look at that, you've got Goliath on one side, and you got David on the armies of Israel on the other side, and you got him taunting them, and then David, who comes along. Now David, he had three brothers who joined the army. When I read that, I thought, man, how practical can we be? He had three brothers that joined the army. And so Jesse, his dad, sends him up to the front lines, taking food, see how his brothers are doing, seeing how the war is going and all these types of things. But you've got Goliath over here who's defying the armies of Israel. He's trying to intimidate them. Send out your best guy. Put him up against me and, you know, see if he can survive, you know. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about 1 Peter 5:8. I need to slow down. Sorry, Dorothy. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Goliath was walking around like a roaring lion. He was looking to devour the armies of Israel. I love what it says here. He walks around like a roaring lion. We make him a roaring lion that devours. He can be a roaring lion all he wants, but he can't overtake us. He can't beat us. He can't shake us. He can't defeat us. Because why? We're in him. But you got David on the other side here. And like I said, he went up to his brothers. He took food. He wanted to see how everything was going. And David hears Goliath speaking against the armies of Israel, speaking against God's people. And he didn't like it. And so he's like, man, I'm going to do something about this. You know, of course, there's more details to the story there. But eventually, you know, Saul, he sends for David. And David tells Saul, you know, no need to worry. I'll deal with this Philistine. He's realizing he can't be beat. He's not shaken, and he's not defeatable. Because he serves a God who wins all the time. We serve that same God. What are you going through in your life right now? You serve a God that overcomes, that wins in every situation. And Saul, he tells David, you know, you can't fight this man of war. You're just a youth. You're just a teenager. The circumstance looks bigger than you. But who do you have backing you up? Who's on your team? I tell people that all the time when they're going through stuff. I said, hey, man, I'm on your team. We'll fight together. Two are better than one. In 1 Samuel 17, starting with verse 34, it says, but David said to Saul, your servant, after he told them, you're just a teenager, he said, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of its mouth. And if he arose again, I caught him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. My goodness. He didn't care how big this army was. He didn't care. People talk about, oh, Goliath, he was 10 feet tall, and he was, you know, his javelin weighed this much, and his shield, it was his mail, all these types of things. They look at the circumstance, they look at the enemy that they're fighting, and they concentrate, their focus is concentrated, their reality is concentrated on how big the enemy is, when in reality, God's saying, get your focus off of the enemy, get your focus on me, and you win every time. You cannot be defeated, and so don't quit. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. David was saying, because of God being on my side, I'm unbeatable, I'm unshakable, and I cannot be defeated because I serve a living God who will deliver me from every situation. I'm speaking faith words here in case you didn't know. There's things going on in your life that you need delivered from, that I need delivered from. And we serve a God who will and always and can and always will deliver us from every situation. David had a God focus and I can attitude, and his confession, what was coming out of his mouth? His confession was, I can tear this Philistine apart. He ain't nothing. He's nothing compared to a lion. He's nothing compared to a bear. And since he's defied the armies of Israel, that makes it even more. Worse is going to happen to him. In verse 40, it says, then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. David had a plan. He did what he knew to do. He used the weapons he was well acquainted with. When he faced off against Goliath, he used weapons. How many times do you think he was out there in that pasture and he had that slingshot and just target practice all day long? Why? Because he's protecting the sheep. There's wolves and stuff that would come after the sheep. So he's out there practicing all day long. He took a weapon that he was very familiar with. He knew to gather smooth stones. He knew to grab the sling and place it a certain way and sling it a certain way. You know what? We have weapons. When the enemy tries to come against us, we have weapons. What's our weapon? Our weapon is the Word of God coming out of our mouths. The Word is strong. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, able to pierce, divide between spirit and soul. It's a big deal. The Word of God is a big deal in our situations. Never surround yourself with people who don't speak faith. When you're going through something, don't surround yourself with people who will pet you. Because people want to pet you. Well, it'll be okay. When Brother Hagin was on the bed of sickness all those years ago, he had doctors and ministers telling him, it won't be long now. You'll pass away. It won't be long now. Just rest back. Take it easy. But he got, what did he get a hold of? He got a hold of the Word of God. He got a hold of Mark 11, 23 and 24. It says, speak to that mountain. These incurable diseases that he had. I don't remember how many there was that he had. At 16 years old. And he rises up off that bed of sickness. Lived until he was late 80s, I think. Should have died back when he was 16, according to the doctors and according to preachers. But he didn't. He lived. He had a weapon that was more powerful than any man's opinion. And that was the Word of God. And it was planted in his heart. And that being on the inside of him, when he faced his situation, he started speaking it. Started speaking it out of his mouth. We have weapons. Just like David had the weapons that he was familiar with, we need to be familiar with our weapon, which is the Word of God. Then he took a staff in his hand and he chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand and he approached the Philistine. You get that? Get this little bitty teenager. I don't know how tall he was. He might have been 5 foot nothing. But you got this little teenager advancing toward this man of war, advancing toward this giant, advancing toward this guy who had all the worldly weapons in his hands. And he was advancing. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. What did Goliath trust in? He trusted in his own abilities and he trusted in these worldly weapons. David trusted in the living God and advanced. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. It's like, what in the world is this? For he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you would come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come with me a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give your dead bodies of the hosts of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. There is a God in Mattoon, Findlay, Trilla, Charleston, wherever you may be, Humboldt, there's a God in every one of those cities there that is saying, we can walk this out and say, I serve a God I serve a God who overcomes. I serve a God who defeats any enemy that rises up. That's who I serve. Whatever the enemy is, I've said it before, it doesn't have to be a person. Your enemy doesn't have to be a person. You could lose everything you have in the stock market. That could be an enemy. And that could knock some people. If you read history, when the stock markets have crashed, people have actually killed themselves. There's no hope. I can't go on. I've lost everything. And that's a lie of the devil. That's a tool. That's a weapon of the devil. But he says here, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. David told Goliath what was going to happen. We need to do the same thing. When we're dealing with the enemy, we tell them, here's what's going to happen. And what's going to happen is what the word says. So whenever we're faced with a situation, you have to go in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Sickness, you can't dwell in my body because Jesus dwells in me. He said that by his stripes I was healed. So I'm healed. Poverty, you can't be a part of my life. Why? Because it says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And any weapon he may try to use that's in this world. Now I'll speak real for a second. I think it's good every once in a while for a preacher to tell the truth. Be real just for a minute. Starting back in the beginning of May, it did affect me when people weren't here. For whatever reason, I realize people go on vacations. And that's okay. But it did affect me when people weren't here. Like, where did everybody go? 1 week we had 77 people here. The next week we had 29. Where'd everybody go? It affected me. I talked to the district, I don't even know what his title is, district guy for RAMA, RMAI Association, talked to him a little bit about it. And we can get the opinion of men, and they can say, oh, well, it's a summer slump. And then I talked to another church, oh, yeah, we're going through the summer slump too. Talked to another guy, yeah, we're going through the summer slump too. And that's when God said, stop it. Quit talking to people. Being real here just for a second. Quit talking to people. Don't worry about what you see. You're not moved by that. And that's like I said earlier, when he said that, he said, speak to the people that are here. And so that's what I'm doing. And the other people, they'll be back. I mean, yeah, there's some in Florida, there's some in Kentucky, there's some in South Carolina right now. They're all over the country at this point. They'll be back. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not, to be honest with you, when people start thinking like this, like I was thinking, and you can go ahead and say it because you're probably thinking the same thing. Well, gosh, Rick was thinking about the numbers. Kind of the old woodshed thing from God. Anybody ever been to a woodshed? It's not where you go get the wood just to bring in for the fireplace, just so you know. Anybody's dad ever take them to the woodshed? Mine didn't. My dad just said, come in the living room. Are you going? He had a word for every SWAT. Anyway, so you hope that he didn't have a lot to say. But no, we're not moved by whatever the mountain may be. We're not moved by that. Why? Because in him, we're unbeatable, we're unshakable, And we can't be defeated, no matter what it is. Like I said, revival is stirring. It's Carrie and I are, at this point here, we're in the beginnings of a constant state of revival. And we believe that God is doing things in us to advance His kingdom, to advance on Goliath. He's doing things in within us. And we're going to be sharing those things with you here. But I want you to have the same attitude within yourself, to be constantly in a state of revival. And to be constantly in a state of revival, you've got to spend time in the Word. You got to spend time in prayer. You got to spend time with the one who's really going to make a revival that's dwelling on the inside of you sustainable. To make it work, to make it go forward, to make it so that you advance. You got to stay in that constant state of revival, and it's only in Him that we can stay in that state. But I will say that I've developed an attitude over the last couple of weeks, and not a bad one, but I developed an attitude over the last couple of weeks, maybe the last couple of months, really. Oops. That, don't take this wrong, but when I walk into a room or into any situation, I walk in with confidence, believing and knowing that God sent me. Believing and knowing not only that He sent me, but that when I walk into that room, I make a difference. Boy, Rick, that's awful arrogant. No. Did David approach Goliath with a, well, let me see if I can, yeah, let me put that stone in there just right. And yeah, if I turn it this way and if I don't release it too early. No, he walked into that situation with confidence. I walk into a room with confidence. Was it always this way? And am I 100% perfect at it? No. But it wasn't always that way. A lot of times, you know, if I was, I would hide behind somebody so that who's ever leading whatever's going on, they wouldn't call on me. Or if I'm in a situation where you're in a room and something like that's going on, never make eye contact with them. Because if you don't make eye contact with them, they can't see you. Just so you know. They don't see you. But it wasn't until, you know, I was 30 years old before I started getting a hold of who I am in Him. I've said it before when I went to Promise Keepers down in Dallas, Texas, and never done anything like that before, never spoke in front of anybody before, never organized anything before, didn't want to. And when God said do it, I didn't want to, but I did it anyway and came back from there and my life was totally flipped 180 degrees. And been moving forward ever since. But in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, it says, "For in Him we live and we move and exist." That is, in Him we actually have our being, as even some of your prophets have said, "For we also are His children." This is the RLMV verse, RLMV. Now, my dad, it was his term. When it came time to name a kid, it was his term to name me. And my mom wanted to call me David Michael or Michael David or something like that. Well, it was my dad's turn. And I've said before, my dad put the hill in hillbilly. And so he said, no, I think we'll name him Ricky Lee. So he named me Ricky Lee. Anyway, so this is the RLMV. It says, in Him, we are alive at this particular time, continuing to move toward a certain goal. It is because we are in Him, we actually have our existence, and we are all called His children. It's all about Him. It's not about our ideas. It's not about our opinions. Now, did He give us common sense? Yeah, He gave that to us, and we should use it, just so you know. He gave that to us, but it's all about us being in Him. If we're going to be unbeatable, unshakable, and undefeatable, it's all about being in Him. Once again, I'm talking faith words here today, in case you didn't know. But I believe that there isn't anything that I can't do in Him. I mean, there's some natural things, natural abilities that he's given us, things that we can do. I mean, when we first got married, when I was a teenager, my mom taught me how to play basketball and baseball and all that type of stuff. She won Babe Ruth Award in baseball and just all kinds of different things. So I was interested in that. I wasn't interested in plumbing, electrical, carpentry, auto mechanics. I wasn't interested in any of that stuff. I wanted to play basketball. Yeah, I won most valuable player awards. And if I hadn't disliked school so much, I would have played college baseball. But that's what I was interested in. Well, Carrie and I got married, and some plumbing went out. Other things happened. And so I had to start calling a plumber, an electrician, a carpentry guy, taking my cars to the auto mechanic. And you know what? That got expensive. And there came a point in time where I looked at Carrie and I said, you know what? I got to learn how to do some of this stuff. This is getting a little bit expensive. So now I feel like I can enter any situation and I can figure it out, or I can watch YouTube. But I feel like I can figure out any situation. There's like nothing that I can't do. And you know what? And we can take this along the spiritual side too. In Mark 16, it's talking about, in 16 verse 17 through 20, it's talking about believers. First part is, you know, tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptize, all those different things there. And then it talks about, as believers, gets to talking about things too. Talks about how, you know, you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Talks about how you'll cast out demons. But if you read the first part of that, and the first one is, I think, maybe talks about casting out demons. It says, in his name, or in him, by his name. It talks about that. If we're going to be unbeatable, if we're going to be unshakable, if we're going to be undefeatable in the things that God's called us to do, once again, I'm coming back to, it's in him. If I'm learning how to do things in the natural, I got to think about, okay, I'm in him, and because I'm in him and he's in me, he gives me wisdom in order to figure out these situations here. When it comes to the spiritual, because I'm in him and he's in me, there's nothing, no situation that I approach that should intimidate me in any kind of way. I should advance upon that situation and say, the word of God says, when Jesus was being tempted in the desert there, he was offered all this, these kingdoms here, if you'll bow and worship. He said, no, the word says. And then he's offered, throw yourself down. He's offered food. No, the word says. Whatever the word says, that's how we deal with the situations. And it's not that that situation won't try to circle back and try to attack us again. Because we read last week that it says Satan left him for a more opportune time. He's thinking, I'm going to come back later on. It's not that we're not going to deal with situations that go on in this world and in our lives, but we have the weapons in order to combat them, and we can't lose, we can't be defeated, and we should never, ever quit. Whew, okay. And why? Who are we? When we talk about being in Christ, who are we? Well, let's look at Romans 8, starting with verse 14. And I'm going to go ahead and read it because I'm running a little short on time here. So it's for all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading again to fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, the Spirit producing sonship by which we joyfully cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we, believers, are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his spiritual blessing and inheritance, if indeed we share in his suffering, so that we may also share in his glory. 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 1. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we would be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God, and so we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, but it did not know him. It is important to know that we are his kids, according to the Word of God. And if we're his kids, and it says here that we're also heirs. Well, if we're heirs, then we have access to the things of God. If I go to my mom's house to this day, if I'm thirsty or if I want something to eat, I don't ask her if I can get into the refrigerator. I get into the refrigerator. When my kids come to my house, they get into my... When my son-in-laws come to my house, they get into the refrigerator. They know that they have access. Why? Because they're my kids. There's nothing that I withhold from them. My kids will inherit everything that I have. My middle daughter, Paige, she already knows everything that I have. Matter of fact, to the point where her name is on my checking and savings account. She could go take all my money and I couldn't say anything about it. But she doesn't. She's good like that. But my kids, they have access to everything that I have. You know, obviously my love, my finances, advice, even if they don't want it. Projects that I help them with. My oldest daughter, she's a school teacher. And when she was in Rantoul, she was teaching a class. She's bilingual. And she was teaching a class. And so she had to set up everything in English and Spanish. And so it took twice as long to set up the classroom. Well, what did she do? Ring, 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 ring. Hey, Dad, can you help me come set up my classroom? So I spent 26 hours. I counted. I spent 26 hours with her in her classroom helping her to set up because it seemed overwhelming to her. Well, guess what? We have a direct line. Something that seems overwhelming to us. Got a direct line. He's willing to come help us. He's saying, I'm not going to let you be beat. I'm not going to let you be shook. And there's no way I'm going to let you be defeated. Because why? Because you're my kid. I think somebody needs to hear that today. I think somebody needs to hear that they matter, that they are God's kid. And when you're God's kid, there's nothing that can stand in your way. If I asked my dad for something, my dad would do whatever he had to do to make it happen. If my kids ask me for something, I do whatever I have to do to make it happen. It's just the way we are. I hate to say this. I left my Bible on my desk. Can I get a Bible? Any Bible. Can somebody run me a Bible up here? Any Bible. It doesn't matter. Nothing like being real. Say, Rick, you need to be real with your act together a little bit. No, don't say that. But in Psalm chapter 46, and I'm going to leave you with these three passages here. I'm hoping that I'm getting across here today, speaking some words of faith to let you know that you can't be beat. You can't be shook. And you can never be defeated being a child of God. But you have to know that, and the way that you know that is through His Word. I'm going to turn here to Psalms chapter 46, and we're going to read the first three verses. It says, God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable to temptation, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change and though the mountains be shaken into the midst of the seas, though its waters roar and foam through the mountains, though the mountains tremble at its swelling and tumult. He's our ever-present help. It doesn't matter that mountains and seas are doing whatever they do. He's our ever-present help. Let's turn over to Psalms chapter 121. Psalm 121. And we're going to start with verse number 1. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills around Jerusalem, to the sacred mountain Zion and Mount Moriah. From whence shall my help come? That's a question. Where does my help come from? It doesn't come from the mountain. It says, my help comes from the Lord who made the mountain. Or it says here, who made heaven and earth. My help comes from Him. My help doesn't come from situations and circumstances and groups and programs, and not that they can't be used to help, but that's not where my help comes from. My help comes from the one who created all of that stuff. It says here, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip or to be moved. He who keeps you will not slip. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand, the side not carrying the shield. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Psalm 124. Are you getting the picture here? God's got you. He's got it so you can't be beat, you can't be shook, and you can't be defeated. The Word of God is telling us this. He's got us on every angle, on every side. We cannot be beaten. Psalm 124, it says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Oh, wow. The Lord is on our side. Now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have quickly swallowed us up alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters would have overwhelmed us and swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. The proud waters would have gone over us. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Whoo, that should have been a shout right there. Hallelujah. We serve a God who got us. We serve a God that's there for us. We serve a God who says that I've got everything that you're going through in life, I've got you. Whatever it is that you're going through right now, if you're going through something right now, take it and say, here it is, God. He'll say, I got you. Because I'm not going to let you be beat. I'm not going to let you be shook. And you will never, ever be defeated. Why? Because you are in Him. Father, we just thank you for this morning and this time that we've had here together. I thank you for this faith-filled message, Father, that lets us know that your word is true. That when you said that we were to speak to that mountain, not doubt. It'll be cast up. It'll be tossed aside. You said whatever things we ask when we pray, believe that we receive them and we'll have them. Oh, and Father, I love your word when it says, and this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to your will, we know that you hear us. And if we know that you hear us, we know that we have the petitions that we ask. Father, I thank you for your word. So I thank you, Father, that no weapon that will ever be fashioned or formed against us will ever prosper. Hallelujah. Your word is good. Your word is true. And I want to read that real quick. The Lord just prompted that with me. Isaiah 54:17. It says, but no instrument forged against you will be allowed to hurt you, and no voice raised to condemn you will successfully prosecute you. It's that simple. This is how it will be for the servants of the eternal. I will vindicate them. Father, we thank you for your word. You're on our side. We don't ever have to worry. We don't have to be anxious about anything. We turn our hearts and our thoughts and our confession toward you. In Jesus' name.